Please turn to Psalm 91, verses 2 and 3. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Are you down in the dumps? Are you in danger? Then verbally declare your confidence and your faith in the Lord. Brag on the Lord openly. In fact, that word say can be translated boast. I will say of the Lord. I will boast of the Lord. It will do you good. I will boast in the Lord. Proclaim the fact that He is your refuge, your fortress, your castle, your stronghold. In previous studies, we noticed that in verse 1, there's two names for God. Two more are mentioned here. They are well-known names for the Lord. The word Lord is from the Hebrew word Jehovah, Yahovah. This name is a name of promise. The word Yahovah or Yahweh, Jehovah, is printed YHVH. This is God's covenant name with the nation of Israel. It is a name of compassion and love. Brothers and sisters, if you're a child of God, this is your God, one full of compassion, of love, and one that fulfills His promise. Jehovah, the name Jehovah is formed from the three forms of the word to be. First of all, Hayah, which means was, the past. Hoveh, which means is, the present. And Yahveh, which means will be. It means I will be what I will be, or I am that I am. A Semitic idiom meaning I will be all that is necessary as the occasion will arise. What a beautiful thought that this is our Father, the one that says, I will be all that is necessary as the occasion will arise. God is the creator of time, and He's unaffected by time and can keep any promise that He's made to us. Of this we can be confident. We can entrust our life to Him. I will say, I will boast of Yahovah, of Jehovah. He is my refuge and my fortress, the one that created the heavens and the earth. The second name for God in this verse is from the Hebrew word Elohim. This is the name of power. Matter of fact, it's the name used in the first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. The Lord, or Elohim, is the creator. It's interesting to note that this name is always written in plural form with a singular verb when used in reference to the Lord. Some might say, this is bad grammar, but it's not. The doctrine of the Trinity, or you can argue plurality, is seen in the very first verse of the Bible. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three, yet one. This is why the noun is plural and the verb is singular. When Elohim is used in reference to an idol, then the word is singular. We have an anchor in times of anxiety, because of the fact that our Lord keeps His promises and has the power to do so, for He is God and always will be God. He is everything we need Him to be. Our responsibility is to trust, to really trust in Him. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The story's been told of D.L. Moody. that in the fall of 1982, I'm sorry, 1892, got my numbers mixed up there, excuse me, D.L. Moody boarded a ship in Southampton bound for New York. 3 days into the journey, Moody, lying on his bunk, and was thanking the Lord for safety that he had enjoyed in his journeys and the fact that he never encountered any serious accidents. While having such thoughts, he was startled by a loud noise, and the vessel began to shudder. The passengers cried out that their cabins were filling with water. The large shaft that drove the propeller had broken and smashed through the side of the ship. Water began pouring in, and it was soon apparent that the ship would sink. Hundreds of people that night sensed that their death was imminent. There was no ship in sight. In the blackness of the night, no one went to sleep. The next day, it was no different. The ship was helpless, and they were alone at sea. Moody, he was no stranger to dangerous situations. He'd been shot at in the Civil War. In Chicago, during the great cholera epidemic, he fearlessly visited the sick and the dying. But on the sinking ship, Moody wrote in his memoirs, it was different. It was the darkest hour of my life. I had thought myself superior to the fear of death, but that illusion quickly vanished. I could not endure it. Moody was gripped with fear. It was a difficult time in his life, for he had recently learned that he was having heart complications too. A sinking ship was not helping matters out at all. Moody went to his cabin and on his knees poured out his heart to God. He found refuge in the chapter that we're studying right now. Psalm 91 gave him great comfort and peace. What happened? Moody said. God heard my cry and enabled me to say, thy will be done. He went to bed, fell asleep. He wrote, I never slept any more soundly in all my life. At 3 a.m. on the second night, Moody's son awakened him with good news. A steamer, the Lake Huron, had heard their distress signals. 7 days later, they were towed into safe harbor. Brothers and sisters, God was not finished with Moody and the other believers on this ship. In fact, Moody will continue to preach the word for 7 more years across the nation in revival means. 2 years after his deliverance from God at sea in 1984, Moody Publications was founded. This revolutionary publishing house made Moody's vision real by publishing inexpensive books to reach a larger audience of Christians and non-Christians. It was his desire that Christians have books to help them study the Word. The impact of Moody Publications continues to influence the world for Christ even today, over a century later. Moody was afraid and helpless on that sinking ship at sea. He had no control of his circumstances. And my brother and my sister, we would do well to learn that truth. We have no control over the circumstances. All Moody could do was trust God with his life and make the Lord his refuge and his fortress. But that was enough. It was enough for him. It was enough for all the saints that went before him. And it is enough, brothers and sisters, for you and I. God is not going to call you home to glory until he's finished with you. So by the grace of God, just trust and serve him day by day. The psalmist continues in our text in confidence and says, surely, surely he shall deliver thee. See verse 3 of Psalm 91. Surely he shall deliver thee. Surely he shall deliver. This word deliver is from the Hebrew word natsor, which not only means to deliver, it means to snatch away, to tear away, to rescue. Many times, God comes through right at the last moment. when our situation looks hopeless and desperate, and he snatches us quickly from destruction. Our Lord has a way of rapidly turning the tables. Was the case with the Israelites when they were cornered by the Egyptians. God opened the Red Sea at the right moment. The same with the three Hebrew boys thrown in the furnace. And Daniel, lion's den, God delivered them when they needed to be rescued. His timing is always perfect, and his deliverance. His rescue efforts can come from the most unlikely sources. The old hymn says, God may not come when you want him to, but he is always right on time. We need to trust the Lord through thick and thin, especially in times of desperation. God will deliver us from the snare of the fowler. There are some interesting insights found in that statement. The fowler hunts for birds. His methods of catching his prey are very informative for us as we contend with Satan and temptation. The fowler. First of all, the fowler's trap is prepared in secrecy. Proverbs 1, verse 17. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. The trap of the fowler is carefully concealed. If it is uncovered, the bait is laid to entice and to trap the bird. The fowler is very careful to conceal himself so he will not scare the birds away. Satan conceals his temptations, making them look so good, fun, harmless, innocent, so that we can become entrapped before we know it. Cleopatra's serpent was introduced in a basket of flowers. So are our sins often brought to us in the flowers of our pleasure. If we knew the pain that what was at the end of the beds of our temptations, we would avoid them like the plague. Satan wants to conceal what is at the end of the road of his enticements. When dabbling in immorality or adultery, he doesn't want you to see the VD, the AIDS, the broken heart of rejection, the ruined marriages, the illegitimate pregnancies. He doesn't want you to see the addictions and the damage that come from alcohol and drug abuse. He spreads the net for you in secret. Also, the fowler's trap is custom fit for the bird that he wants to get. First, he conceals. Secondly, it's custom fit. The bird hunter adapts his trap to the type of bird he's trying to capture. The bait and trap are adapted to the type of bird that he wants. Traps for larks that fly high will be different than for ducks that swim on the lakes and the streams. Satan uses the same tactic. He is the master fowler. For some, their weakness is liquor and drugs. For others, their weakness may be sexual temptations, or greed, or money. Satan has a way of knowing our weaknesses and adapts his temptations to probe that weakness if we're not disciplined or careful. If we are like Achilles and cannot be wounded anywhere but in our heel, then at the heel, Satan will send his darts, send his missiles, and nowhere else. He will find out our easily besetting sin. And brothers and sisters, if you don't think you got one, you're being set up already. Every one of us have an easily besetting sin. Even now, at the moment I just said that, that sin is coming to your mind. And that besetting sin, that if he can, he will attempt to work our ruin and our destruction. Samson's weakness was women and pride, and he was snared with this bait. When you are trusting the Lord, when you're following him, and you're making him your refuge, the Lord will deliver you. If you play the fool and willingly indulge in sinful living, then don't be surprised when your life goes down the tubes. When all of a sudden you say, what in the world happened? What in the world happened is you wasn't paying attention. You wasn't wise. He wasn't watching out for the fowler's snares and his traps. So, custom fit the fowler's trap. Concealed the fowler's trap. Also, the decoy of the fowler. Hunters who go after ducks will many times use duck decoys to draw the ducks into their snare. They try to make them look and sound like the real thing. Satan uses the same tactic. He may use a man or a woman that appears to be a good Christian to get you to drop your own God. And you, brother or sister, that's in the church, that just you can't get away from the fact that you want to be married. Pay close attention. You have to be leery of the actions of those around you. You know their life spells trouble. So Satan will try to weaken you to the weaknesses of respectable Christians. You may see a respectable Christian doing something that's not good or wrong and conclude that it's okay for you to do it too. If so-and-so does it, it must be all right for me. Do it too. Such conclusions are wrong, brother, sister. The standards of right and wrong are not based on people and people in the church. The standards of right and wrong are based on the principles of the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, because of the influence of our examples, we need to be careful how we act and we behave. That's just a warning for my single brothers and sisters out there that can easily be trapped by those that are professing to be Christians. And as I said, and you that are quote unquote strong in the faith, beware lest you cause your weaker brother to stumble. Romans 14:13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Is Satan using you to weaken another Christian? Are you being influenced by a poor example? Choose your friends in the church very wisely, brothers and sisters. The custom fit of the fowler's snare, the decoy of the fowler, also the confrontations of the fowler. Another method used by the fowler to catch his prey was the use of a hawk. Trained hawks were sent to catch the birds in flight and bring them down. The hawks would swoop down on their prey. When Satan cannot ruin a Christian by getting him or her to yield to temptation, he may send hawks after the believer, to slander them, to gossip, to lie, to discredit, or even, if possible, to destroy him or her. Paul went through this at Philippi and other towns. Philippians 1:16-18. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. When you are slandered, fly high. This is how the little birds escape the hawk. They fly up. continue to walk with God. There is not a whole lot that you can do except that. God will deliver you. Leave it to God. Fly high above it. High above the slander and the gossip and the lying and the discrediting. Fly above it. Just forgive. Let God deal with that situation. Cause no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. The Lord will deliver. God not only promises to deliver us from the snare of the fowler, but also from the noisome pestilence or deadly disease. God can prevent you from becoming sick or being ravaged by disease while others around you are dying. This promise is not to be understood as absolute, like many health and wealth teachers teach. Not to be understood as absolute, or as meaning that no one who fears God will ever fall by the pestilence. Sin has come into the world, and we die. And some of us get sick, many of us in the process of dying. You know yourself that good people do die from sickness as well as bad people. But the idea is that God can preserve us at such a deadly time, if he so wills it. If he so wills it. Nevertheless, Father, thy will be done. Not can he or will he, but Father, your will be done. If I would die from this disease, thy will be done. If you would deliver me from that disease, thy will be done. God is our protector, and we can trust in him to care for us and to keep us safe. If we are weakened, then he has another plan for our life. Our responsibility is to trust him. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Psalm 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. James Montgomery Boyce pointed out the fact that Lord Craven, a Christian nobleman who lived in London in the 15th century, clung to the truth of God's protection. A plague ravaged London in his lifetime. Craven, like most of the wealthy families, determined to leave the city and seek refuge in his country home. He ordered his coach and baggage to be prepared for departure. But, as he was walking down the hall of his home preparing to depart on his coach, he overheard one of his servants say to another, "I suppose by my lord's quitting London to avoid the plague shows that his God lives in the country and not in the town." Wow. What a testimony from this quote-unquote Christian nobleman. What an example that he set for those that were around him. One of his servants saying to another, "I suppose my lord's quitting London to avoid the plague shows that his God lives in the country and not in the town." It was a blunt yet innocent remark, but it struck Lord Craven so deeply that he canceled his journey. Craven said, "My God lives everywhere and can preserve me in town as well as in the country. I will stay where I am." So Lord Craven stayed in the plague-stricken city of London. He helped the plague victims and did not catch the disease himself. He was delivered of the noisome pestilence as he trusted in God and sought his protection. brothers and sisters, our job is to trust in God and to seek His protection, not our dependent on our schemes, our manipulations, our money, our wisdom, our plans, our schemes. I will say, I will boast of the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and Him will I trust. Surely, surely, He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, be it now, or be it when you die and you go to heaven. Sooner or later, He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Brothers and sisters, may we trust in the Most High God. May we trust in El Shaddai, the Almighty. May we trust in the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, I am who I am. And may we trust in God, Elohim, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. For surely He shall deliver thee. And my friend, if you're listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ and asked Him for forgiveness and asked Him to save your soul, you cannot say, I will save the Lord. He is my refuge, for He's not your refuge. You're depending on yourself. He has commanded the world to come to Him, that there's no way to the Father but through Him, Jesus Christ, that He was made a sin offering for the sins of His people. And by simply believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have your sins forgiven. You can have eternal life. You can escape from the wrath that is about to come on this world. Matter of fact, the scripture says, and to those that believe it not, they are condemned already. But my friends, you're hearing the gospel. You're hearing the good news. You need not perish. You need not be condemned. You can flee even as this at this moment. Even as one of the thieves on the cross, the day that Christ was crucified, one thief kept cursing Christ, the other thief cried out to Him, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Christ said to that thief, no good works, no baptism, no promises, no vows, to that thief who simply believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. To that one, Christ said, today you will be with me in paradise. And the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. If that man simply came by repenting, changing his mind about himself and who Christ was, to believing in Him, He can do the same for you, my friend. That's the gospel. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. May you come to Jesus Christ for salvation. And if you would be considered my brother and sister, that you have come to Jesus Christ, may we trust in Almighty God, in the Most High God, in Elohim, in Jehovah.